More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, Volcano! Feel like you're going to blow? We're going to help you manage anger gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And rage building, anger, flaring, muscles, tensing.
Ouch.
Ah!
Volume.
Today's show is titled Volcano. Yeah, we're making light, but if you feel like you're going to blow, we want to help you manage anger gracefully. Let's face it, sometimes certain people or situations provoke us to more anger than we'd like to have. Would you like to stop letting your kids push your buttons, your spouse from getting under your skin, your friends, family, frenemies, or coworkers from driving you up a tree? We want to help. Alternatively, maybe you'd like some better strategies for managing someone else's anger more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we are here for you today. 877-573-7825. Let us help you stop either being overwhelmed or intimidated by anger. 877-573-7825.
You know, I think this is something that we all deal with on the daily. There is so much injustice in the world, in our own personal lives. We get so frustrated with things. We can be frustrated in areas of our life where we're dealing with worry or deep concern over something, and then someone in our life says something goofy or pushes our, you know, last button, and we end up lashing out in anger at them because we're really so scared and frustrated about other things in our lives. Where we can be on the receiving end of that, where people are being nasty to us and we have no idea why, because we didn't do anything. But we have to deal with this anger that's existing in our lives and in the world pretty much on a daily basis for some of us. What do we do with that so that we can live peaceful lives, so that we can get along well with other people, so we can address injustices either in our own personal life or in our world without just having a rage building up inside of us that leaves us feeling helpless anyway?
Well, and we'll talk about this throughout the course of the program, but just to sort of set it up, you know, I think Christians have a particularly complicated relationship with anger because we recognize that wrath is one of the seven deadly sins, right? And sometimes people will say anger is a sin. And depending on how you define the term, that can be true or false, honestly. Anger, looking at this through the lens of the theology of the body, anger, like any of our emotions, was given to us by God, right? And the godly intention behind anger is to help us respond to injustice, as you were alluding to, Lisa,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's appropriate, proportionate, and productive. Okay? So righteous anger allows us to be angry, but then it moves us toward a response to that injustice that is appropriate, proportionate, and productive.
I think that proportionate is something that we really, really struggle with. Either we know that we've exploded over something that everybody else sees as a small thing, or the thing that we are really angry about with everything that's going on in the world today is so huge that we feel a proportionate sense of anger, but then what in the world do we do with that? So that's one of the struggles we'll be talking
about.
Yeah,
and there are two ways to be disproportionate in our anger. The first way is what you were saying, to kind of become outraged, you know. But the other way is to not be upset enough.
You know? That's probably surprising a lot of listeners this morning. Be upset enough.
No, I mean, if there is something that is a true injustice, we should be upset about it. That is a just response. We just have to make sure that our upsetness is appropriate, proportionate, and productive. On the other hand, the sin of anger, more specifically wrath, is when our anger, you know, our response, the emotional response we make to an injustice, is inappropriate, disproportionate, or unproductive. So the very fact that you're angry about something isn't a sin. It's an emotional response to an injustice. It's whether you let that anger motivate you to make an appropriate, proportionate, or productive response, or an inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive response that tells you whether it's a righteous anger or the sin of wrath. We're going to be unpacking that through the course of the program, because it's easy to say that in theory, and I think that even that definition can help clarify sort of a lot of things for a lot of listeners, but it's another thing to apply it. You know, in those situations where, like I said, your kids are pushing your buttons, or your spouse is getting under your skin, or your friends, family, frenemies, or coworkers are driving you up a tree, or for that matter, when someone you care about is getting angry with you. So we want to help you handle all those situations gracefully. If you've got questions about anger, yours or someone else that you love, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're going to help you experience, process, and respond to anger in a more graceful way. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And there might be a lot of you saying, I can't do that because it just hits me out of the blue. You know, I get angry and it just flashes at me. Don't tell me to be all thoughtful and logical in the midst of it. Well, we won't tell you to be exactly thoughtful and logical in the midst of it, but we'll help you handle it with grace and be able to do things in your daily life so maybe you won't flash anger so quickly, and you'll really be able to find some grace and walk in a lot more peace, and your relationships will be better for it. So whether you're dealing with somebody who's dumping their anger on you, whether, as you say, Greg, it's somebody you love, or maybe it's somebody you don't love, maybe it's somebody you have to work with, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's somebody at church, and you're just sick of dealing with their grumpiness and their anger and their irritability, and you don't know what to do about it anymore, or it's your own, and you find that you're getting fed up far too often, and you really don't know what to do about it. You don't know how to give God the props that he deserves in your life, and you don't know how to really treat the people he's given you as well as you want to, because you're just dealing with all these things that are irritating and angering you. We're here to help you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You raised an interesting point. You talked about those people who tend to go from like a 0 to a 10.
Yeah, just
the anger just causes
flashes
them a flash
on you. Yeah.
That's actually an illusion. People, you know, who will complain about, you know, going from a 0 to a 10 in terms of their anger tend to have been living at an 8 for so long they don't even realize it. You know, their 8 is everybody else's 0. It comes from, you know, I don't want to be angry, so I'm not going to deal with stuff. And then it just kind of piles up, and I'm always on edge. I always feel just a little bit like a victim, just a little bit like everything is working against me and everyone is kind of working against me. I don't mean you're paranoid. I just mean that you kind of don't deal with stuff, so it raises your emotional temperature and causes you to have a unconscious chip on your shoulder. And then that one person does that one thing that bumps your emotional temperature up from that 7 or 8 up to the 9, and now you're raging.
And can I say, I think that we live in a time where that is more likely to happen than ever before, because we've got almost constant 24-hour-a-day negative input into our lives. We've got news outlets that are, at least here in America, that are working very, 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 very hard to emphasize the negative every minute of every day. And every word they choose is hyperbolic and intense. And we might not even think we're paying attention to it. But if it's on in the airport every time you're sitting there waiting for a plane, if it's in the background of your life at home or in your car, if it's going on over the TV set in your doctor's waiting room and you're just being inundated with it, if you're dealing with looking at your device and you're just seeing all of this stuff coming through comment sections that are irritating you and making you angry, the way that feeling comes into our lives often seems so passive we don't realize it, but it can ratchet up that emotional temperature to the point where then when we're dealing with real life stuff, instead of dealing with life from a calm place, a place where we're dealing with our rational brain, some of it's already been shut off by all the input of the day, and it starts to really wear us out and drive us a little over the edge. So I think it's harder now than ever before to really have that place of peace to work from the beginning.
The truth is, though, I think that we can practice, whether we're one of those folks who goes from a 0 to a 10 in no time flat, or, you know, is kind of caught up in the outrage machine of contemporary media, whether that's traditional media or online, we need to realize that anger, to be effective, to be graceful, is not a call to action. It's a call to prayer. You know, without prayer, anger can cause us to feel stuck and powerless and perpetually outraged with no solutions in sight. And the theology of the body reminds us that our emotions are meant to work for our good, as I said earlier. So the only way to do that, because the fact is we're all affected by sin, our emotions especially, is to make a point of bringing things like anger back to God so he can teach us how to use it. You know, when something upsets us, instead of giving into the outrage immediately, we need to bring that anger to God and say, okay, Lord, help me identify the problem, gather the resources you've given me to address the problem, and make a plan for how I can glorify you in my response. So we want to talk through how to do that. We're asking you, do certain people or situations provoke you to anger more than you'd like? Would you like to stop letting your kids push your buttons, your spouse from getting under your skin, your friends, family, or coworkers from driving you up a tree? Alternatively, would you like better strategies for managing someone else's anger more effectively? Let us help you stop being overwhelmed or intimidated by anger. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the gift of anger. We thank you for allowing us to feel that sense of outrage at the injustice that sin has brought into the world, and the ways that sin has damaged our relationships with you and with others. But Lord, we ask you for the grace, for the wisdom, for the patience and compassion to be able to respond to our anger and the situations and people that provoke it in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way, so that even in the face of our anger, we are able to glorify you, work for our good, and work for the good of those around us. Let the anger that we feel not lead us into sin, but lead us to build your kingdom, to work for greater peace, unity, and community, so that we can glorify you in everything that we do and everything that we feel. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, Volcano! We're talking about anger. Feel like you're going to blow, or having a hard time dealing with people who do regularly blow up? We want to help you out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hey, Teresa, welcome to Mortal Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I listen to you always, and I remember listening to this topic a while ago, and I ran to write the three criteria because I am married. My husband is wonderful. He's a faithful man, and yet he does have this silly temper that flares up over the most superficial things like the traffic and everything. Like,
So he might get upset about something. Does he take it out on you, or is it more? You know, he just kind of gets upset about.
What happens is that years ago I tried to handle it, like tried to explain to him how it wasn't necessary to react that way, and then he would get more upset with me, and then we would go on into an argument. So now what's happening is when I can, when God helps me, I let him run it. And sometimes I'm successful, but then I just have this opinion that this anger has to be handled somehow. But I don't know what to do.
Okay, I just want to clarify though the kind of anger that you're talking about. That you're talking about, like he might get mad at somebody who cuts him off in traffic, or he might get mad at some random thing that doesn't go well. But you're not saying that he doesn't attack you personally with that anger.
Not physically or anything like that.
Just even emotionally. But okay, well, no, that's an important. Here's an important distinction. Okay, because I think it's important to make that distinction between, say, an angry reaction that then that sort of dissipates quickly because the person's kind of vented that thing, versus when we let our anger cause us to turn on other people. I'm not saying that your husband's reaction is good, but I think that it's one of those things that doesn't necessarily need to be handled, right? And in fact, as you notice, your attempts to try to explain why he shouldn't react that way, it just makes it worse because he's venting. Okay, he's not directing that at you or anybody else. He's frustrated at the moment and he's expressing that frustration. If you want to do anything, the best thing to do would be to just say, "Honey, I love you. Are you okay?" And just let him vent. As long as he pulls himself back together and doesn't take it out on you, let it go. It's a different story, though, if he's attacking you. In those cases, you'd need to set some boundaries. But we're allowed to have reactions as long as those reactions don't cause us to behave in inappropriate ways. So, for instance, if that reaction caused your husband to chase the guy down the road and challenge him to a fight or anything, that would be a problem that needed to be addressed. If it causes him to, growl a bit about it, let him growl and let it go. And because the more you try to say to somebody, well, how do you like it when anybody says to you, you really need to calm down. You shouldn't be upset about that. it's infuriating, right? So being able to just let him have his say there in the moment, if you really are concerned, be able to say, honey, I love you. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm just frustrated about that. Okay. And then move on. If it is resulting in behavior that's dangerous or, threatening, obviously you need some boundaries around that. But otherwise, this is an opportunity to kind of let that go. Thanks for the call, Teresa. There is a difference between a reaction and kind of outrage. And we'll talk more about that throughout the course of the program, too. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about anger and the appropriate and inappropriate ways to express it. When More to Life continues, we'll be talking with you, and Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org will be joining us to discuss more insights about how the theology of the body can help us relate to anger more effectively. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you by the following nonprofit.
Catholic Charities agencies served more than 15 million people this past year, providing meals for school-aged children and affordable housing for families, seniors, and veterans. To support these and other programs, consider a Catholic Charities USA donor-advised fund. Simplify your philanthropy and leave a legacy that's simple, flexible, and charitable. For more information, visit ccusa.gives/DAF1.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we're talking about anger today on More to Life as we help you deal with your own anger and the anger of those around you. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens of joytob.org. He's here to talk to us about what anger can help us with in our spiritual lives. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Great to be with you guys. Great.
So,
thank you.
So anger can help us in our spiritual lives? What?
Most people think it's a block between us and God. So this is a bit of a shock to a lot of folks.
Well, you know, most of the spiritual aids, most of the things that help us as beings become impediments until we learn the right direction. So to speak of anger as helping us in the spiritual life, I think of two key concepts in the theology of the body. One is integration, and the second is communion. And very quickly, the integration means that we don't just look at our emotions in an isolated reality, that it's just, here's my emotion, how do I deal with it? But we have to understand also the will. You know, what do we choose to orient? How do we, our intellect, how do we understand what this anger is? So looking at it in an integrated view, we don't just deal with it in isolation, the anger, the emotion, but we look at it in that holistic, that more human way of what is the good that is in there? That's our intellect. And how do I achieve that good, which is the will? And this is why I love your show, because you get very practical in ways of dealing with this in a holistic way. The second key, though, is communion. That this is not just an I problem, and the world will try to look at it as an I problem. What can I do for my happiness? But the role of communion says that the I, who I am, takes its power from the I thou, that it's about my relationship with God and with others. So we orient and we discern and we grow in holiness by that I thou relationship. So anger should be an awakening of an injustice, as you said earlier. But it's also the recognition of how it affects those around us, because what's ultimately good, true, and beautiful is how it builds the I-thou, the communion with God and with others. And in that sense, our anger arouses us. It awakens us. It gets us out of a slumber or a discord. It's just say, wait a minute, something is out of order, and my stewardship demands that I bring the order back with the help of God. So that's where the emotions tied with the will and the intellect are meant to build and build love as communion.
And I think it's a really different way of thinking about anger than most people do. Most of us think of anger as something that we have to kind of live in fear of, or that we are just sort of consumed by. You're really presenting a much more thoughtful and really prayerful approach to anger, where we bring those feelings to God and ask Him to teach us how to use them for our good and the good of the relationships that we're in.
Yeah, and I think it's important here that it is not about repression. It's not about a denial. It's not about a self-condemnation. Our emotions are a power. Like I tell people, it's an e-motor. It's meant to move us towards something, but it's not a steering wheel. It's not a transmission. It's not a map. So we use our intellect and our will to take this raw power of our emotions and to direct them toward the good. And in that sense, we can see these powers as raw powers that are meant to be under our stewardship. I think that's a very hopeful perspective.
That's a very hopeful perspective. Hey, Damon, before we wrap up here, just wait about a minute. I know that you're in D.C. Tell us about what you're going to be doing tomorrow at the March for Life.
Oh, I'm so excited. So this is actually my 13th year with Teresa Tomeo on the field, co-hosting with Catherine Hadro, the March for Life. And this year we got the incredible message yesterday that President Trump will actually be here. There's incredible, just the first president to ever address it. But it's already a zoo without a presidential or vice presidential visit. So we're all kind of like biting our nails, like, okay, what does this mean for several hundred thousand people in D.C.? But we are
amazing,
super excited about another beautiful day. Weather will be with us, and we expect several hundred thousand people here to really just stand in joyful support for life.
Well, Damon, we thank you, and of course everybody at EWTN who helps everybody who's got a lot of anger over this issue deal with it in a productive way. Thank you. We'll be praying for you tomorrow as you lead us through it, and everybody can listen to and watch the coverage on EWTN Radio and EWTV tomorrow.
Check it out, folks. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about anger, both dealing with your own anger more effectively and the anger of the people around you. Let us help you stop being overwhelmed or intimidated by anger. 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Those who deny the full humanity of the preborn will be toying with the sentiments of pro-life people. They will say, you can't really believe in the humanity of the unborn unless you support this or that piece of legislation. The pro-life position is quite different. We might well believe that we need to improve social conditions. But first of all, we believe that the preborn are a good to be protected, even if born into poverty, even if born into unstable, violent homes. We want to eliminate those terrible conditions, but it is the height of arrogance to tell human beings like unborn children who cannot communicate or reason or stand up for themselves that they are better off dead, because we know from our own experience that we would choose life and survival over death, no matter how poor our social environment.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible of the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure.
While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Volcano, as we talk about anger. If you feel like you're going to blow, or you're struggling to deal with people around you who are blowing up with anger, we want to help you manage yours and others' anger more effectively. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
I also want to remind people, as we mentioned earlier before the break when we were talking with Damon Owens from Joy2Be Ministries at story2be.org, that Damon and Teresa Tomeo and many, many other wonderful people will be present to you live from the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., starting tonight with the opening vigil mass, and I think it's 5:30 Eastern time. It'll carry you through the entire march tomorrow. We'll have live coverage. They will be covering, of course, the historic appearance of the first president in history to actually address the life march in
this
person.
This is the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, so this is a big anniversary.
Huge. This is huge. And so, really, please, if you haven't ever been, if you haven't ever watched, if you haven't ever listened on EWTN radio, this is the year. This is the year to get involved. And when we talk about anger today, often people don't know what to do with the anger around this issue. Watching the coverage of this will really help you see God's grace in all of it and really sort some things out for yourself. The coverage is always amazing. The stories are breathtaking, and it really will help you, aid you in your life and in your prayers. So join us on EWTN Radio and EWTV for the next 2 days, starting this evening, for all of this coverage. We're glad to be able to bring it to you.
With that, let's go to the phones. We're talking about anger today on More to Life on our show titled Volcano. Let us help you stop being either overwhelmed by your own anger or intimidated by other people's. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brandy, who's listening in Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Brandy. What's going on?
Hey there. I'm a stay-at-home mom with three young kids. They're 5, 3, and 1. And I'm just finding myself, like, stressed out, like, all the time. Like, I mean, the thing you said at the start of the show about always kind of being at a high temperature, it's seeming like it's sudden, but you're always kind of running at a high, like, emotional temperature. That is me. I am, like, always, like,
okay,
stressed. And I grew up in a household that was, like, very stressful, lots of yelling. Sometimes people threw stuff, you know, so it was just, you know, I'm realizing now that I wasn't ever raised with, like, the coping skills of dealing with the stress of raising small kids, and I'm just home with them all the time. It's been, like, 6 years of nonstop babies. I mean, you know, almost 6 years now.
I understand.
And so I'm just kind of, like, feeling like I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm just kind of struggling day by day to get through it, so.
Sure. Well, let me start with saying, you know, you are certainly not alone. You know, you're a mom of three kids, 5 and under, that's a big job, and it's a stressful job.
And you're dealing with completely illogical, irrational people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with very little rest.
And then there are your kids, too.
Exactly.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
No, so there's a lot on your plate. All right, so let me just ask you this, though. What is let's say, in the course of your day, what is the thing that kind of gets under your skin the most, or what's the most stressful part of being a mom of your kids?
Well, probably the most stressful thing is just feeling like I can't achieve the things that I need to accomplish in a day, compounded with, you know, if the kids are, you know, causing a ruckus, you know, they're bickering with each other, or, you know, getting into things they shouldn't be getting into, which, you know, with a one-year-old is all the time. So
let's talk about how are you trying to get, like, how would you try to get something done? You know, if you had a, if you, like, set the stage for us here. If you were trying to fold laundry or, you know, make a meal, or like, where are you, where are the kids? How are you trying to do it?
Well, folding laundry usually waits until they're in bed. But making a meal, I usually have to gate off the kitchen and just allow them to play in the family room. You know, it's kind of a small house, so I can kind of supervise them as I do that. But often, you know, there'll be somebody, you know, whining at the gate, needing something from me, or they'll start bickering or getting upset in the other room, and I have to stop what I'm doing and intervene, like, feels like all the time. It's probably not that often, but when you're trying to
get
around the table, it feels pretty,
Are there times that work better than other times, just naturally? Things that, maybe, you know, maybe not perfect, but it goes a little more smoothly, just naturally, than other times?
I suppose kind of in the morning. Morning is better because, you know, everybody's rested and they're kind of, they have more patience for quietly playing and allowing me to get things done. But usually breakfast is not a problem, or lunch. It's usually the dinner time that gets really rough. And
yeah, every mom, you know, has that dinner time problem. We used to call it the witching hour around here. So you are not alone. And that's one of the things you need to understand is some of these things do kind of happen normally if we don't put very specific things into place, and they'll still try to happen even if we do. So one of the things I want you to be telling yourself, even if you have to write it down on a post-it note on your refrigerator or in your bathroom mirror, say, it's not me. Okay, there are things that are not you, like the fact that by dinner time, you're exhausted. The kids are exhausted. Everybody's hangry. You're in a place where you want things to be looking all June Cleaverish, and they're not. And you start to attack yourself for it. You also, I'm hearing you say that you've got this story in your head of, I grew up in this really, you know, erratic household, so I don't know the skills of how to do this. It's good that you're honest with yourself, that you know that your background was lacking in just handing you the skills by watching your mother handle it with grace and aplomb. That doesn't mean you can't learn it, but you're taking up a lot of space in your head attacking yourself over it, that I'd like to see you working on giving that space to, so what can I do to start putting this to rights? And you've done that by calling in today, so good on you for taking the time to do it.
Well, so three practical suggestions, and then we'll give you some resources to move forward with this. All right, so the first practical suggestion is where I started. I want you to start looking for the differences that make the difference. There are going to be some days where getting dinner together, or getting the kids dressed for church, or whatever those other things are that drive you crazy, there are going to be some times where it works better than other times, just naturally. Things just kind of fall into place. Maybe it's not perfect, but it's at least a little less stressful than it usually is. Make a note of that and ask yourself, what's the difference that makes the difference here? You know, are they maybe more rested? And if so, how could I build that into my plan for the next time? Are they more occupied with a particular activity than a different activity? How can I build that into the next time? What are the differences that are making the difference? Try to pay attention to those times when it's just spontaneously going a little bit better. Don't blow it off. Ask yourself, how could I replicate that or include that moving forward? Second tip, a lot of folks, you know, and to some degree, you know, you do need to have your kids away when you're doing stuff, but we find that when parents figure out how to bring their kids alongside of them when they do different chores, it goes a whole lot better.
So, for instance, one of the things that I learned as a mom of young kids was it did not work if I was trying to make a meal and I was pushing the kids out of the room because I had to focus on this meal. So one of the things that I did was I lined up the high chairs and I stuck them in the high chairs right by the island, far away from knives and heat, you know, but they were right there, and I would give them things to occupy them. So even a one-year-old can use some of these coloring books that the watercolor paint is actually on the bottom of the page. These things are awesome. And you give them, you know, just a tiny bit of water so they
painting with water. Basically.
Yeah, they can't douse the whole house with it. And you give them that and a paintbrush, and they go to these Buddha boards. If nobody's seen these, are great. They're just black. You use water on them. They're gray. They change to black. They dry. Kids can have a blast with those. Simple things like that. Also, making sure they're having a little bit of a healthy snack while you're making dinner is okay. They don't have to sit down to a three-course perfect meal and be able to have that family meal. They can eat a little bit of protein as you're getting ready, and then dinner's going to go better all in all.
Yeah, and the five-year-old, you could set them up with their kitchen stuff and say, okay, it's time to help mommy make dinner. You know, and you know, so the point is, you know, kids that age, they actually want to be part of it. And so finding little ways to help them at least play at being part of it gives them a way to join in and gives you a way to kind of be with them so that you can focus more on what you have to do without having to suddenly interrupt it and go run into the other room or, you know, even across the room to monitor them. You've got them, you know, locked in.
And those high chairs, they're there so they're not climbing on the stove or the refrigerator or on the knives.
And they're actively engaged. The same thing, you could do the same thing with, okay, it's time to dust, so you give them all a little rag where they can follow along behind you, or you get a play vacuum cleaner so they can clean up there, and you put on some music and you make it a family project. It's not just mom doing this and the kids have to go occupy themselves, because I'll tell you what, a 5-3 and a 1-year-old cannot occupy themselves without setting each other on fire.
Or just driving you absolutely mad. I'm also going to say it's not bringing them alongside, but figuring out ways to handle things ahead of time. So getting something in that crock pot the night before and just being able to throw it in the morning so you're not distracted at that terrible dinner hour, and it's all done and you feel accomplished, is also really helpful.
So the third tip I'm going to give you, and this is just to generally lower the overall emotional temperature in the household. Anytime you're feeling stressed, I want you in your head to see that as a signal for cuddle time. And that doesn't have to be a long time. It sounds crazy. Okay? But I want you to, and it doesn't have to be long. And you just say, okay, guys, mom, if you like, I need a hug. Come here, guys. And you all just hug it out. And I'll tell you what, just taking that second to get the hugs from your kids, a little tickle,
you're hugging, and your three of them are going to pile on you, and you're going to feel like, that is not what I want. I am all touched out, and I am fried, and they better get themselves together. But if you say, no, I need that hug, and you can even say, hey, and you got to ask Jesus to help me be a good mommy right now. Now, that 5 and the 3-year-old can really do that for you at this point. It will bring down your emotional temperature. It will focus you on the good, godly mom you want to be. It'll remind you of the gift that these kids are, not the curse that they're feeling like at the moment. And it will help you take those next steps without feeling, as you're saying, like the yelling crazy mom.
Well, you mentioned it, so I'm going to give you a bonus tip here, and then then we'll close off because we have to go to break. You mentioned having the kids give you a blessing. Okay, so a lot of times, you know, parents are familiar with the idea of giving their kids a blessing. You lay your hands on your child and you just say, you know, Lord bless my child, and let them, you know, have a good day, and let them know how much you love them and how much I love them. You know, boom, you're done. But if you do that and get in the habit of doing that, your kids can actually give you a blessing too. And there was one time where Lisa tells this story.
I was having a day just like you've been having, Brandy. Really, really was. And I was so frustrated. I was really like, I'm going to lose it on my kids. I just am. And I sort of shot up this prayer that said, Blessed Mother, please pray for me because I'm not going to be the mom I want to be right now. This is not going to go well. And I had this prompting of, have them pray for you. And I'd never done that before. And my two oldest were 5 and 3 at the time, maybe a little younger. And I just like threw the dish sponge into the sink and said, kids, come to the couch. And they thought they were in for, like, you know, the riot act from me. And I said, I can't do this. You guys have been really horrible all day. This has been a terrible day. And I am not going to be a very pleasant mom very soon. I need you to pray for me. And they took me very seriously, and they one put his hand on my knee and one put her hand on my shoulder, and I just started hearing things like, Lord, please help mommy be a good mom. Please help her be peaceful right now. Please help her calm down. And then I started to hear things like, and help us be good for her, and help us to get along and be helpful to her. It changed everything. I mean, suddenly we were on the same team. God's grace was pouring out on me. They had a new awareness of their power to actually pray, which was amazing. I cannot tell you the way it changed, not just that moment, but our entire relationship. So starting those moments, especially as you head into the afternoon, you're about to make dinner, gather the kids around you and say, kids, I need you to help pray for me because this is always a rough time of day for me and for you guys. And then you can pray for them after they're done and say, Lord, just help us all be calm and help us all get dinner together, together so that we can have a lovely evening and a good meal together. And just take that time, it really is miraculous.
So those four tips, okay? Looking for the differences that make the difference, having them come alongside of you rather than separating them out with the chores.
And pushing
number
them
three,
away.
That kind of using their stress level as a way of saying we need a hug. Having that brief, even 30-second cuddle time makes all the difference. And then if you can get in the habit of blessing them, you can teach them to bless you in those times too, and use those graces to get on the same page. We do talk about these strategies in Parenting with Grace. And so I'd encourage you to pick that up as a way of kind of getting a little bit of inspiration there. If you find that you need more support after a couple of weeks of trying these things out, you know, especially in light of the, you know, you saying that you didn't grow up in the most peaceful household, maybe you've got some kind of baggage from that. We can help you through that too with at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with some good counseling to just get you the rest of the way.
And Brandy, if you need a little bit more of a hug on the daily, I want you to join me over on momfidence.org. That's momfidence. It's like confidence, but with mom at the beginning instead. Momfidence.org. I'm also on Momfidence Official on Instagram and Facebook. That's Momfidence Official. You'll get a little daily boost every single day on Instagram and Facebook. And we're forming a really lovely community of podcasting and blogging and people supporting each other over on Momfidence Official. We can't do parenting every single day here on More to Life, but my heart is with all my fellow moms, and that's just a place to get the boost you need as well.
All right, Brandy, thank you so much for the call. And we are taking your calls as well, listeners, about anger, either your own struggles with anger or your struggles in dealing with other people getting angry at you. Let us help you stop being overwhelmed or intimidated by anger. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, I'm going to share our verse of the day from Ephesians 4:26. That's where St. Paul says, be angry, only do not sin.
Well, that is what we're dealing with today, isn't it? Be angry, but do not sin. A lot of us don't even want to be angry at all. So if you don't want to be angry anymore, or you do feel righteously angry, but you don't want to sin, or you're just dealing with somebody else being angry all the time, give us a call. We're here to help on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We'll be back after this.
The Encounter Conference, December 28th through the 30th at the DeVos Place Convention Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan. 13 powerful speakers. Do you want more?
The truth is, brothers and sisters, there is no solution to the cultural and church crisis but Jesus Christ the Lord, alive in a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Period. That's it. He's finding out right now who's with me, who wants to live in the Spirit of God, who wants to follow me. That's what he's doing. It's going to be a work of God for the glory of the Father. The Father glorifying the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit through a people who are alive to Him and are proclaiming Him with everything they've got.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking with you today about anger on our show titled Volcano. Feel like you're going to blow or having a hard time dealing with the people around you who keep blowing up with their anger? Let us help you out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Ave Maria Radio on the Internet.
Hey, Maria. Welcome to Marie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks so much for your ministry. I think I should probably know the answer to my question because I've listened to you for so long and our marriage has been blessed by your ministry. So I'll start with that. But we've been married for 27 years, have seven children that range from 9 to 24. So we have a range in our home from 9 to about 17. And I think that over the past few years, I've gone to work, and finances, you know, have become more difficult with college and tuition and all of that. And it's put a ton of pressure on my husband, which I'm empathetic and truly understand. However, I think that stress has mounted so much that what was naturally there as an anger and a temper, you know, all these years that was somewhat muffled or that we could diffuse it better has now become very much a part of our default in our home. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it in our children. And I've tried lots of different angles. I've sort of now resorted to what is probably not a good way, which is, you know, bringing it up at the time that that's not the way I should be spoken to, because I'm worried that my teenagers are going to emulate this behavior and think it's okay, and I don't want to, you know, play a part in it. But that's also not working to our advantage. So truthfully, I'm at a place where I know we have issues and we need to address them. He's not ready to do that. He's what you described earlier is instantaneously at a 9 because he feels attacked or that.
What happens after? So let's say you address it. He loses it. He kind of comes, you know, he loses it on you. You try to address it in the moment. How what happens? How does it resolve?
It really doesn't. He'll end up storming off.
And then when he comes back, what happens?
Just a bit of an edge is there at all times.
But you guys don't bring it back up again, resentful. Is what I'm getting at.
No, I really do try in private, but it's my fault. I'm the one that causes the problems, and
okay.
It's very much put back onto me, which
gotcha.
Is a problem
and then,
separate issue. I just want to know how.
No, that's just part of the same issue. The other question I've got for you is, you'd mentioned the kids, you know, is this kind of spilling over? You mentioned the kind of the tension in the household. How big an issue is the kind of bickering and snapping at each other in the whole household?
It's big.
Okay.
They're noticing it. When my older kids come home, they notice it.
So there are two things that I want to do, and I've got 3 minutes. So I'm going to try to get this out as quickly as I can and clearly as I can.
Sure.
So number one, all right, I want to talk about, let's start with your husband, okay, because that'll be the most important thing here. It's not a problem to address it in a moment, but here's what I want you to do. Okay, it's really important to empathize at first, to give a message of support, and then set the boundary. So you're saying something like, "Honey, I need you to know that I'm sorry you're frustrated. I love you very much, and I am on your side." Okay, so you want to say those things up front, and then you'll say, "But I can't talk about it like this. Can we take this down a notch, or do you need to take some time to calm down first?" So you're not like, "Don't talk to me that way," you know, because that just escalates things, right? But it's, "I love you. I understand. I'm sorry you're frustrated. I am on your side, but I cannot talk about this way. Can you take it down and not attack me, or do we need to take a break and come back to this later?" And then you hold that line. Now, if he does the whole, he might do the whole, "I'm perfectly calm. You're the one who, and you're the one who..." Yeah. "I'm sorry you feel that way. I am on your side. I love you very much, but I cannot talk to you like this. Can you take it down a notch, or do we need to take a break?" And you just broken record, okay? If he won't do that and he storms off, all right, then when he comes back later, you say it again. "I'm really glad you're back. You seemed really upset before, and I'm sorry you were so frustrated. I really am on your side. Are you ready to talk about this respectfully now?" And if he comes back and says, "So what's for dinner?" You say, "Well, honey, I'd love to talk to you about dinner, but until you can tell me how you'd like to handle that differently and give me an apology for the way you treated me, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with. I'm on your side, and I love you very much, but we need to finish that conversation respectfully. And that is the only thing you say to him until he comes back to you with that apology and gives you a different idea of what to do, even if that's the only thing you have to say to him for a month. Because in a healthy relationship, couples do have that natural pause where they might offend each other, and then one person says, hey, that was out of line. The other person says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And they get back on track. You're going to have to build that pause in, because he just wants to blow up and then roll over you. I ran out of time for my other idea about taking down the temperature in the whole household, but I'm going to point you to How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, especially the chapter on self-regulation. I think it'll be useful to go through together. If he's not willing to go through it with you, then I encourage you to get connected with Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice. We can start working with you, even, in learning how to set these boundaries to help get your husband to a better place as well, and begin making changes, even if you're the only one working on it. This is an important thing, especially with the family that you've got, to be able to bring down the whole stress in the household. The suggestion I made, How to Heal Your Marriage, will take you the rest of the way. Thanks.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.